Hello, everybody. It's me, Gary Bettman. And I gotta tell you, you know, there was a point yesterday when I said to myself, self, do the people really want to talk about concussions? Do they really want to talk about concussions and player safety with the 10 people with the lawsuit and the whole thing? And I said to myself, no, of course they don't. They want to talk about Canadian television. So I decided to get together with my friends at Rogers and do a big deal, 12 years and $70 billion. And here we are now. Isn't this fantastic? Joining me now on the line is a man who's very happy today. He is Jeffrey Marek. Hello, Jeffrey.
And Commissioner, I am actually, truth be told, because I only do the podcast for about 10 minutes today because I'm big-timing my co-host, Greg Wyshynski, I am actually in the Sportsnet wardrobe room, right across from where Greg Wyshynski, who you know quite well, Mr. Bettman, he does a great impression of you, had to change his pants with our stylist, Deb Berman.
Oh, Mr. Diarrhea Pants over there with the yellow pants that look terrible on HDTV. HDTV, by the way, you can really follow the puck. It's amazing how they do that. Jeffrey Marek, you're a big fan of this deal that you give us all this money and then we give you all the hockeys?
They cannot keep enough champagne, Commissioner, in the LCBOs, which is the liquor store here in the area around Jarvis and Bloor Street. That's how happy everyone here is at the Rogers campus, sir.
Well, I don't know from Bloor Street. I'm more of an Avenue of the Americas man. But tell me, Jeffrey, are you excited that Don Cherry is going to be on 17 different channels at the same time with the Jackets?
Yes, I work with Don, Mr. Commissioner, as you well know, as part of CBC's Hockey Night in Canada for four seasons. So I'm only too happy to be kicked out of the makeup chair by the former head coach of the Boston Bruins once again.
Are you excited that now the NHL, with this $70 billion deal from the Rogers Corporation, is going to have cost certainty?
Yeah, I am a little concerned. There's not enough money for things like, a raise, Mr. Commissioner. And if you could nudge my bosses, perhaps, you know, Scott Woodgate or Scott Moore and Keith Pelley, and maybe, you know, if I send you some pictures of my children or if I send you a copy of my mortgage, maybe you could sort of nudge it over their way just to know sort of what's at stake in my life and all this, Commissioner.
Now, I understand that you live in Stouffville. Is that true? Stouffville, Ontario?
And interestingly enough, Mr. Commissioner, not too far away, 15, maybe 20 minutes away from a proposed new rink in neighboring Markham. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, that'd be fantastic. I understand there's a cable station in Canada that could really use some more programming now that they lost the national gig. Speaking of that, I understand that your place in Stouffville has a very large lawn and a big area. I was wondering if perhaps you could offer some of my old friends some employment. Aaron Ward, Darren Drager, James Duffy. Might they be able to caretake your lawn?
I am in the process now of building one 20 by 36 in the backyard, Mr. Commissioner. It's my first kick at the can. I think the ice would be better than the Stanley Cup final involving the Dallas Stars in 1999, but still, I don't know that it would be suitable for big time hockey right now.
I wasn't even aware you could make ice outdoors. I always thought it just appeared when the temperatures got cold.
Oh, you should ask Mr. Collins. He's done a great job of it so far with his Winter Classic initiative.
One more question, Jeff Marek. Now that there's a 12-year guaranteed deal and there's all these billions of dollars coming to the NHL's way, I imagine that you're all going to be quite nicer to me and my friend Bill Daly on a daily basis. Do you see what I did there? Oh, you're sugar. Are you going to be nicer to me now that I own your asses?
First of all, Mr. Commissioner, is it one sugar or two that you prefer in your coffee, and at what intervals would you like to be served said coffee?
I like to get a foot massage as I watch Brendan Shanahan do the suspension videos. It's always very nice.
It just so happens, Mr. Commissioner, we could invite someone else under the tent, bring him into the fold, who kind of has a, how do they say, foot fetish. Have you met Mr. Wyshynski, formerly of New Jersey, now of Virginia?
Get out of here, jerk! Taking my microphone away. Stupid Gary Bettman. I have no idea how he was in Alexandria, Virginia, and Toronto at the same time. It's almost like he's in two places at the... Hey, so congrats are in order. I mentioned this... I hope I'm not speaking out of school here, but I mentioned this on another show earlier today. You had no clue this was happening last night, right?
No one did. Like, I was shocked when... I mean, we all saw the tweet from Bob McKenzie last night. Which, you know, when you read the series of tweets, you know, sort of reads, you know, almost like a concession speech. You know, very, and that's Bob, right? He's really polite and he's really classy and he's really dignified. And that sort of got, you know, the text going and the emails going. And honestly, Greg, it wasn't until, like, I didn't know, like, the depth of all this. We were, like, heard, like, little bits of information last night going back and forth with people on direct message or on text, but we didn't get the full gravity of everything. I didn't know it until this morning when I woke up at, I guess it was 7:30, 8 o'clock, got home at, like, 3 last night from Sportsnet, until Scott Woodgate, my immediate boss, called me this morning and said, yeah, we need you on set for 11, and then we need you to do Hockey Central at noon. And I said, oh, is this about the deal? There was, you know, the word, the announcement was going to be made today. And then he started to go over some of the particulars of the deal, including the decimal point, which is huge, and the production element, to say nothing of the broadcast element. And it, I'm sure you're the same way, Brad. My jaw hit the ground. Like, if you, if you, like, went to a chalkboard and drew up, you know, a blank check, and then what you would like to get for, you know, the decimal point the NHL puts in, it seems as if, you know, legitimately, I mean, Rogers got everything that that they could have imagined and more, including, you know, a sub-licensing deal with CBC and TVA and, most importantly, the Hockey Night in Canada brand.
I know you can't get into too much of specifics and such, and I know you definitely can't comment on the competition such as it is now, but – you know, a lot of folks here in the States are trying to grasp the enormity of this thing.
Yeah.
What changes for Sportsnet now that they have a national deal? Like, are there going to be, say, entire networks in the family dedicated to hockey, or how does this whole thing work?
That's a great question, and it's day one of the partnership, and Keith probably talked about this today, and he did let one thing out, which is the development of, I don't know if it's its own production house, I don't know if it's its own company under the banner of Rogers, but there will be a dedicated, you know, 24-hour, 365-day of the year, 12-year, considering the nature of the deal, broadcast entity that just focuses on hockey. I'm sure it'll be its own standalone building. It'll be sort of a hockey house of excellence, or however you want to classify it or categorize it, but there is going to be something here in Canada, in Toronto, which handles all broadcasts of hockey in this country. It's kind of mind-blowing, dude. Like, I'm still trying to wrap my head around sort of what all this means, what it means for us here at Sportsnet, what the implications are for our friends up and down the street at TSN and CBC, what it means for, you know, for me, what it means for the entire country, what it means for Hockey Night in Canada, what it means for Don Cherry. Like, I haven't had a real chance, I don't think any of us have, to have a, you know, a real sit down and think about what all the implications are. I spoke to Bill Daly at Hockey Central at noon. I'm going to speak to the commissioner a little bit later on. I'm going to talk to John Collins here in about 20 minutes and sort of try to suss out what exactly this means, because, like many people, all I have are a bunch of questions and no real answers. Because I'm, let's face it, Wish, you know, I'm not even close to those meetings, if you know. Like, if this is a totem pole, I'm pretty low on it. Like, if this is a sporting event, I'm the guy at the back of the gymnasium with really bad seats. That's as far as how close I get to these negotiations.
Well, I think, I mean, well, obviously one aspect of it is that we do become the flagship podcast of the new exclusive rights holder of the National Hockey League.
That's a great point. I, about that, the podcast. I would assume so. Right? I mean, why not? So now we get access to the commissioner, to Bill Daly. We get access to all the juicy scoops and all the juicy tidbits. Is that what this means for us, Wish?
We're part of the rights holder family. Now, granted, this is going to mean some changes, and I hope the listeners are going with us on this. But I mean, like, for example, tomorrow's question of the day is Exalted leader Gary Bettman good or great or better than great? I mean, it's not the most challenging question, but I think it's the most valid.
I don't know. That's a tough one, because the knee-jerk answer is really great, but we'll have to really, you know, spend 24 hours to think about it.
I think he's better than great, personally. I think he's redefined it, at least for me.
You know what,
I mean, I've taken him as my Lord and Savior, but I mean, that's just me.
Regardless of how you feel about the commissioner, too, I know he's not, you know, he's not the most popular cat with a lot of people, but the one thing you have to admire about what he's done since he took over from Ziegler essentially in 1993 in February, I mean, you look at the NHL back then, it was a butts and seats business. That was it. There was money made at the turnstile, and that is it. But when you look at what the commissioner has been able to do, certainly in concert with broadcast partners, with Bill Daly, with John Collins, whether it's the Winter Classic or now this landmark Canadian television deal, to the tune of $5 billion, Greg Wyshynski, he really has strengthened the head office. Like at the one point, you know, the 21 franchises, the 24 franchises, 26 franchises, they ran the ship of the NHL. And they were telling Gary what to do. Gary, here's what you're going to do. You're going to run this little mom and pop shop and you put paper on the wall. But that's all changed now because central, you know, head office of the NHL is stronger than it's ever been. And that's all. I mean, read the Gatehouse book about it. That's all because of the vision and implementation of that vision of Gary Bettman. I know a lot of people don't want to admit that, but wish, you know, it's true.
Oh, no, I mean, he's closed well. I mean, his first 10 years as commissioner were ass. But I think he's turned the corner, and he turned the corner around 2005. Now, there's some good fortune involved in that. Like, for example, Sid versus Ovi, the resurgence of the Blackhawks and the Bruins and the Flyers and the Penguins in Detroit. And now we have got like upwards of 11 teams that are viable franchises you make time to watch. But I mean, the man also made his own luck hiring John Collins. Implementing the Winter Classic, there's a lot. The rules changes, all of these things combined led us to this point where Gary Bettman has taken a media entity that at the beginning of his tenureship as commissioner was a also ran as far as media rights goes and turned it into something that is making $4.9 billion U.S. over the next 12 years in Canada.
Quickly, Maddie, can you turn your mic off? I'm hearing you in my ear. So if you can either quiet yourself down or turn it off. I'm having a hard time hearing Wish. But I think, I'm not sure if you mentioned this, Greg, but one of the things I think you left out there as far as fortune goes, you know, don't discount or discredit the strength of the Canadian dollar, which was a huge stroke of luck for the National Hockey League. And when you look at the nature of this rights deal and the $5 billion that comes attached to it, doesn't it further chum the waters for either expansion or relocation into Quebec City or Markham or another team, you know, at the Air Canada Centre? Like, it's pretty obvious the dollar amounts that are involved here.
Yeah, exactly. But don't you think that also opens the opportunity for the guys who lost out on this deal to bid for those rights? I mean, like, wouldn't TSN go all in for a second Toronto team just to get those local rights?
Regional rights, absolutely. And with I'm not sure the nature of all of our deals, but I mean, I think with Vancouver, we just did a 10-year deal. Edmonton's a long one. Calgary's a long one as well. TSN has Winnipeg Jets rights, Montreal Canadiens rights as well. But yeah, absolutely. If I'm our friends up the street, I'm not throwing in the towel on hockey by any stretch of the imagination. And you're right. I'm aggressively bidding on these things as hard as I can with all the resources that I have available to me.
A couple of things real quick. The question of the day was biggest winner, biggest loser in the TV deal. And a couple of them concern you, sir. Chris Lund, the loser, to Merrick's dismay, is junior coverage. I imagine the Friday night games aired on Sportsnet are going the way of the dodo. True or false?
I know this is the last year of the CHL agreement with Sportsnet. I would imagine then that would be something, and I can't speak for TSN, but I would imagine they're still very much in the hockey game, and the World Junior Hockey Championships, the under-20s, is a marquee event for them. I would imagine that they would bid to migrate CHL over there, unless we sign another deal with Dave Branch and the CHL.
Littlest Hobo writes in, biggest loser is Wyshynski because Jeff Merrick may become too busy for the podcast. Hashtag Wish versus Hobo. Well, at least in that scenario, I get top billing. That's kind of nice.
I think they're big timing you now, bud. That's it.
You really are. Oh, you're doing the goddamn podcast from the phone. The biggest media day of the last year, and you're on the phone.
I gotta go do it. I gotta go do stand-ups. I gotta talk to Scott Moore. I gotta talk to John Collins. It's kind of a big day around here. But hey, man, I mean, you know, there's gonna be some new ground rules. Okay, just, you know, for you and me. Now, if you're walking by my desk, for example, and I have my nightlight on, and I'm reading or looking at something on the computer, that means don't disturb me. Don't talk to me.
Gotcha.
Don't look at me. Just keep walking. And with my light is off, that means you can approach me for some polite, cordial, quick, brief, Greg, conversation. You're on the clock.
And may I say, your hair looks smashing today, Mr. Merrick.
Oh, I'm doing something different with it. I'm washing it now. Thank you for noticing, Mr.
Hey, real quick, Patty Cakes says, because I know you got a book. Patty Cakes, does the new deal mean Jeff Merrick gets to host an outdoor game on that backyard rink? True or false, sir?
Oh, man, how awesome would that be? Just do it in the backyard in the 24x36 with my kids. The broadcast package includes, as I understand it, and I'm going to go talk to Collins here in a second, as I mentioned, you know, all of the frills that come along with being the national rights holder. So that includes your outdoor games as well. So I'm looking forward to be more of a bigger part of what has now become the biggest Canadian sports media deal in history.
All right. You, sir, congratulations. It's a big day for you. Obviously, your star is going to shine in many different ways on this new media conglomerate. And hopefully you can carve out 10 minutes a day to hop back on the podcast that bears your name.
Listen, dude, you know, that's the best part of my day every day is doing the podcast. There's no way I'm ever letting go of that. Oh, I'm not doing it because I'm making money at it, Wish. Trust me. I'm doing it because I love doing it.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us on Millard versus Wyshynski. We really appreciate it. And
Hobo versus Wish. I would actually download that and listen to it every day. I'm like our little kid.
And I'm so tired of the shootout. Urf.
All
right, man. Go have, in the immortal words of Pierre Maguire, go have fun out there.
Go have some fun out there with John Collins and Scott Moore. Thanks, bud. Thanks, everybody. Thanks. Hey, by the way, Merrick. a lot of people, by the way, tweeting me last night and this morning and direct messaging and sending me kind, you know, notes about, you know, the future of me in Sportsnet and everything that, you know, the group here has achieved. And I haven't got back to everyone. I'll certainly try to over the course of the next 48 hours. But a heartfelt thanks. It's a really big day for Sportsnet, a really big day for me, and a really big day for my family. So thanks to everyone who sent kind notes.
There you go, baby. Jeff, the great Jeff Merrick, ladies and gentlemen. You can say you knew him when. We can all say we knew him when. And I'll say it a lot of times when this podcast devolves into me and Aaron Ward eating beans out of a can, watching Jeff Merrick on some pregame show on Sportsnet on Saturday and Sunday. We're going to get into this TV stuff in a big way with John Shannon coming up. Also, Steve McAllister, who is my big boss at Yahoo and the former editor, sports editor at the Globe and Mail, is going to join us to talk about this and also the concussion lawsuit, which, boy, crazy how that works, right? How this news leaks out the same day the NHL gets hit with a concussion lawsuit from 10 former players. Wild timing. You've never seen the NHL try to manipulate the news cycle. All right, so there's that. Shannon, McAllister coming up, and, of course, your answers to the biggest winner, biggest loser of this TV media mega deal. And with that, let's start the show proper, shall we?
It's never just about price. It's about the grant of rights. It's about how the games are going to be distributed, scheduled, and produced.
Unequivocally, we have the most coveted content in Canada, the most compelling content, which is the NHL National Package.
This is a deal that we think is transformational. Nobody's ever done a deal quite like this, both in terms of its structure, its length, or its magnitude.
It's actually, I think, remarkable and a testament to Rogers at how quickly this all came together.
There's going to be more NHL hockey available to more fans in Canada than ever before in the history of the National Hockey League.
Merrick versus Wyshynski.
Producer Matt Brown tells us two games for Kevin Westgarth for his heinous boarding the other day. So there's that. That news comes a leaking on out while the world is talking about other stuff. John Shannon coming up in a moment to talk about this TV stuff. But let's dive both feet in on this concussion stuff. 10 former NHL players, some of them very marginal NHL players, joined this lawsuit. The first one against the National Hockey League targeting their concussion protocols and player safety protocols over the years. The lawsuit filed in Washington, D.C. court alleges that the NHL has failed to effectively respond to head injuries sustained by players and that the NHL has behaved negligently and fraudulently in regards to the player-sustained head trauma over the past decades. If you read the suit, there's a couple of really interesting things that we can get to now and later on. The first being that I don't see this as a direct parallel to the NFL. I think the NFL clearly was withholding information from its players. I think the NFL was criminally doing so. And the fact that they settled out of court was not a surprise. I don't think the NHL has been that nefarious, to be quite honest with you. But I will say this. The crux of this suit, if it does go to trial and it's not settled, is going to be whether or not the NHL can get away with saying we weren't sure what the science was telling us as a reason to not enact change. That's a very interesting legal question, and it's going to be the argument they make, you know? It was the argument that they made in the late 1990s when they started getting into concussion protocols. It's the argument that they still make today about CTE in some cases. I mean, they don't openly discuss it, but there are discussions behind the scenes whenever it's always been, well, we don't know what the science is. You know, is this a genetic thing? Does it affect only certain people? Does it affect everybody who plays a contact sport? We don't know. So the essential argument from the National Hockey League is, we don't know, we were still digesting the science. The argument from the players is going to be, well, you should have known and you should have told us and you were allowing us to play a dangerous game. The other very interesting aspect of the lawsuit, and one that I'm sure we'll talk about in this very program more than a few times, it's a direct assault on fighting. And it asks the question that many anti-fighting advocates have been asking for years, since player safety became so paramount in the National Hockey League, which is, how can you be a league that professes to be about player safety and at the same time allow fighting? How can you be a league that is so concerned about brain injury and yet at the same time winkingly allow players to pound each other in the brain? It's something that if you talk to guys in the league behind the scenes and off the record, they can't square. They don't know how to answer the question, and they might have to answer it in court. It is now pushing the fighting debate into a legal realm. And, you know, I was looking at the hockeyfights.com boards last night to see what the reaction from that community is, because you do have – I mean, the large majority of these 10 players are guys who drop the gloves. And they were saying this could be the beginning of the end. This could be the thing that pushes fighting over the edge and enacts real change in how the NHL allows it or doesn't allow it. And I don't think they're too – I don't think they're too far off. I mean, it could be a real tipping point for this debate. There's some weirdness. I mean, like, I think when the names were announced, Rick Vive being the biggest, Gary Lehman the second biggest, it was interesting to see some of the names involved. I mean, real randoms. Darren Banks being one of them. Darren Banks was a guy who played 20 games in the NHL from 92 to 94. He then played 8 more seasons before retiring at 34. Like, it makes you wonder exactly, like, how a guy like that could point to the NHL and say, your negligence caused my brain injury. When he goes on and plays 8 more years in leagues that aren't the NHL, but what have you, he's part of the lawsuit. I've been asked about whether or not other players are going to join the lawsuit. I think it's inevitable. I think it's going to happen, and I think the numbers are going to really swell. Listen, I'm a nobody, right? And I already had a few retired players reach out to me on email in the last 24 hours after reading the piece I wrote and say, how can I get involved in the lawsuit? I had one guy who's a goalie who's well over retirement age. Let's say he's between the ages of 60 and 80, let's say. And he emailed me and said, look, you know, I'm a guy who suffers from concussions. I'm a guy who has battled this all my life. I'm a guy who's on the dole for the NHL retirement fund and the NHLPA pension and all this stuff and doesn't pay a lot. And frankly, like, I've been affected by these brain injuries and my life has been affected by them. I didn't get compensated in any way that I think is fair during my playing days to make up for the fact that I have to deal with this on a daily basis. So how do I get involved in the lawsuit? And it's not just – so it's – you know, you look at these guys and your first thought is it's opportunistic. A guy plays 20 games in the National Hockey League, joining a lawsuit, attacking the NHL's player safety protocols, trying to – you know, seeing what the NFL paid out, which was well over $700 million to the players that were suing the league – and saying to yourself, okay, it's opportunistic. But in a lot of cases, it is that situation where guys say, here's how I feel, here's what I deal with on a daily basis, and what am I owed for that because I wasn't paid properly during my playing days. Joining us now is a guy who simply can't be compensated fairly because what he does is beyond compensation. This man is a genius. This man is an asset to Sportsnet in every way. And he is John Shannon, and he joins us here on the Wyszynski podcast. I don't even know if I should refer to Merrick anymore, John, because I feel like he's going to big time
I give
us
up on him.
And leave
I
us.
I think that the Wisher and Shandy
right?
podcast, the Wisher and Shandy podcast has the ring to it. You know,
Shandy, I give you top billing. I gave Merrick top billing. I mean, he's going to whine about it if I didn't. So I just go ahead and
I don't mind being second fiddle, Greg. I don't mind being second fiddle.
Hey, so what's your timeline on this? When did you realize that this deal was going to be as massive and I don't want to use this term disparagingly, monopolistic as it is?
Well, I got an inkling about 10 days ago that there was a master plan to go and do this. By the way, I truly believe, and I don't know this for a fact, but I truly believe that if Rogers hadn't done the monopoly, that Bell would have. So we were destined for a monopoly one way or the other. And again, I'm not sure. When you consider how television signals are distributed, you know, over the air is still a big factor in Canada. The CBC is still a giant factor in this country when you think that it gets into more homes than other network, then I, you know, I think it's probably the way to go. The NHL needed, and as you well know, Greg, had promised a great many of the owners $400 million. And the only way you get the $400 million is if you give the other side some assets. And so what they did was they gave them a ton of assets.
You know, the one of the more interesting components of this deal, obviously, is the CBC aspect, the Hockey Night in Canada aspect. And from what I gather in reading around some of the insider accounts today, Bettman basically told CBC, you're out of the bidding, and now you've got to cut your own deal if you want to keep Hockey Night in Canada alive. Is that kind of how you saw it?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think that occurred on Thursday. So, yeah, I do think that that's how it – I mean, the aggressive bid by the Rogers people and with the full intention, I believe, of creating a relationship with the CBC for Saturday night for many reasons, distribution reasons, sales reasons, legacy, respect – of what the CBC stands for. I mean, I think that's a big part of this. And I think that, you know, when you consider Scott Moore, who worked at the CBC, and Keith Pelley, who had dabbled some work at the CBC, I think they understand the role of the corporation and know full well that the assets that Rogers owns over the air can't really compete as well with the Bell assets, that they needed the CBC. So as long as the CBC was willing to partner, then this thing worked pretty well. The reality of it is that Rogers held every ace in the deck, and the CBC right. had little choice if they wanted to remain in hockey to accept the deal.
Right. You've always been a guy who's been forward-thinking about media, and I wonder if you could talk about the digital side of things. I've always thought Sportsnet had the advantage over TSN as far as the digital side. I always thought they maximized their potential on that side in ways that maybe Bell didn't. Do you think that played a huge factor in this, or is it more of an over-the-air deal?
Well, I think it, again, I think it goes back to that shopping cart, Greg. I think it goes back to what everybody, whether it be the NHL suits or the Rogers suits, what they valued each of the pieces, whether it be the digital side or the over-the-air side or the cable side or the website. Or the mobile side, and from that perspective, I really think that the league put a high value on the digital side, and Rogers did as well. And so when you have two forward-thinking groups, and then you have one that has a lot of content, and the other one that has a lot of assets to distribute the content, then that's a win-win for both sides. And that's why this thing came together so quickly, is because it was too good to turn down. And with Rogers, what Rogers can do on mobile phones and can do on the web, I think, and really, sports fans in North America, sports fans in Canada have experienced it to a lesser extent with what Rogers and Sportsnet have done with their soccer package on the web, which is absolutely phenomenal. By the way, they do that through New Lion, which is going to still be the digital supplier and the digital conduit.
Right.
Happens to be owned by Nancy Wong. Surprisingly, it's the same name as the Islanders' owner. and that cooperation, that partnership will still exist for the NHL, for Rogers, and for New Lion. So, I mean, it's such a potpourri of things. The other thing is, I think that when you look at the deal, Greg, you and I could sit here and come up with the next greatest idea that the NHL will have to share with Rogers. And that's part of that future endeavors, that future opportunities is also one that I think that attracted the Rogers people a great deal.
Let me ask you specifically how this affects certain parties. First off, teams that participate in revenue sharing in the National Hockey League.
Well, they get teams that they're going to get a bigger piece of a television pie. I would estimate the television pie from Canada will go from 7 million to 15. So, you know, Anthony LeBlanc in Phoenix or the guys in Nashville are going to get $8 million more dollars out of Canada. That gets them that much closer to zero which in theory makes their revenue share needs less.
Right, right. The salary cap. I mean, our friend James Myrtle has predicted that with 6% growth over the next several years, the NHL salary cap could reach upwards of $90 million by the time we get to 2020. Where do you see the cap going under this deal? Is it going to dramatically affect it?
Well, I think any expectations I had heard, and you know, when people talk discreetly in the corner, they say the cap's going up, the cap's going up. It was always with this number in mind. It was always with Gary's promise to the owners that he was going to deliver them $400 million a year. So from that perspective, I do think that it's going up. I do think that that was, you know, when John Collins stood in front of the board and said, we're going to grow the business $1 billion in the next 3 years, this part was contemplated in that $1 billion. So I don't think it will grow as more rapidly than already anticipated. I think we'll obviously be over $70 million next year. I think we'll be 75 the year after, and we'll be 80 within 3 years. At which point, Greg, I think we're going to try to have to find a whole new set of owners, because I don't think there's going to be an appetite for five or six teams to stick around.
And you're probably right on that score. Speaking of which, and this might be sort of a counterintuitive question based on the way you answered the last one, expansion. How do you see expansion working out under this deal? Let's say everybody's healthy for the next couple of years and the NHL does choose to expand. Does this contract affect expansion in any way?
I don't think so, other than it probably, you know, the rules and regulations of expansion can occur any way the league deems to see fit. For instance, you know, the Edmonton Oilers, Hartford Whalers, Quebec Nordiques, and Winnipeg Jets did not share any television revenue for the first 5 years of their time in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
What's to say, as a precursor, that if you don't share in TV revenues for the first 3 years, so that the 30 owners that are still existing will be able to share that money without adding the two new expansion partners. I'm assuming two, if there is in fact two expansion partners. And then the other 30 owners also share that expansion fee, which could be between $300 and $400 million. So it could be heady times in the NHL. By the way, that $300 to $400 million does not get shared with the players.
Yeah, exactly. Good. Thank you, CBA negotiation that the NHL had the advantage in. I don't know how much you can speak about this, because I know that they're a competitor, and I'm not quite sure what you can say and what you can't say, but do you have any general thoughts on TSN, either their time as a rights holder or what direction they might go in over the next 12 years?
I can only speak of them as a competitor on Hockey Night. When I was at Hockey Night, I can only speak of them as a partner when I worked at the National Hockey League. And I think that the people at TSN did nothing but good for the game. They loved the game. They understood what it meant. They knew that if they made the NHL look good, TSN itself would look good. It was a perfect partnership. You know, with time, with other situations, this is no different than the day that Fox signed the TV deal in the National Football League and CBS was out of it for 5 years. You know,
yeah.
NBC was out of football for a while. This is life in the big in slang. And it's unfortunate. I have a great many friends there that I feel very badly for today on a personal side. But at the same time, it's business.
And on the Sportsnet side of things, you've probably seen both of these men today. Who has the bigger erection, Nick Kyprios or Darren Millard?
I refuse to talk about male genitals.
That's a fair point, sir. But it's seriously though, like Millard and Kipper have been shepherding this hockey side of things for quite a while there. I have to imagine that this will maximize their potential as on-air personalities in ways that we've not seen before. Yeah.
Well, I think you take a look at the dedication that those guys have had to this network and the loyalty they've showed to this network in 15 years. And you're right. They do have big smiles on their face, and I think more Canadians will learn to understand what professionals they are and how much fun we have doing television in this place.
It's great stuff. Hey, John, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. And
When does the Wish Your Shanny podcast start full time?
Well, I don't know. I'll ask. I have to get Merrick his lunch later and also pick up his dry cleaning. So okay. When I see him later on, I'll ask him exactly when he'll be leaving the show. Now, you know, there'll be other options, I'm sure.
I'm low maintenance, Greg, so it's okay.
We'll put you in the driver's seat. You know, I don't know if Merrick told you, but somebody did a list of the top five episodes of all time on this podcast, and we've been doing this podcast for upwards of 3 years. One of them was a show that you and Merrick were on, and I wasn't. So evidently the people love you, sir.
The podcasters have taste, too. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm evidently dog food, but you, sir, are prime ribs. So anytime you want to hop on, please do. All right, John, man, thanks again, and congratulations to you. I'm sure this will lead to some exciting times for you as well.
Have a great day.
The great John Shannon, a man who is on the inside of many a negotiation, a man who knows his way around a television contract. And, you know, he can't speak about TSN. Merrick can't speak about TSN. I'll probably only talk about TSN half the time because this, of course, is a co-branded podcast between exalted rulers of all things hockey, Rogers and Yahoo Sports. But I'll say this, speaking candidly about TSN for a second. Couple things. First off, I thought their product looked amazing. And that's no slight on Sportsnet, but TSN's product, whether it was the design of their studio, the quality of their HD, the presentation of the games, I thought it was really above and beyond other coverage. And that goes for the States, too. It always looked really good to me. The second thing is, it's always tough to make your studio shows appointment television. Because it's essentially people just talking about whatever sport. You know, sometimes it's studio television or appointment television based on the personalities that are there. I know, like, people will make time to watch Mike Milbury. I mean, if they want to put themselves through that pain, that's fine. But, you know, TSN wasn't about that. They didn't have a guy on there of great controversy or anything of that nature. They just gave you really good analysis and really good information. And I was always drawn to that studio show because it was the right balance between – like analysis of the game and that sort of tantalizing gossipy stuff that McKenzie and Dreger and LeBron and those guys would give you. And that was always a really fun balance as a viewer. Again, the other thing I think I'll miss is the trade deadline show. Now they're going to probably still do it. They're going to cover hockey. They have to. They're a Canadian network. I don't know how many assets they'll throw at or what the budget's going to be, but it's going to change. And it sucks in a way because the trade deadline rivalry that developed between Sportsnet and TSN was WWE versus WCW. It was that level of intensity. It was that level of animosity. And I say that as a guy who's now participated in the Sportsnet trade deadline show for a couple of years. Like, TSN made them raise their game. And I think at the end of the day, Sportsnet's product became just as good or better in some ways than TSN's. That the old fogey GM war room that Merrick hosted was probably my favorite thing on either network during the trade deadline. But there is something to be said for competition. There's something to be said for a rival making you up your game. And I really hope that that muscle doesn't atrophy now that Rogers has won the great hockey media war for the next 12 years. It was exhilarating to watch how much Sportsnet wanted to beat TSN and how many things they tried and how many interesting things they did and how better the product became because of that. And I hope that we still get a sense of that on trade deadline day. And the last thing I want to say is about the personalities on the network on TSN. I don't know where they're all going. I think McKenzie's probably going to stay there because he's himself said he's in his retirement contract, and you could see him being the venerable insider voice that they need on their coverage of the NHL on whatever NHL products they create. I mean, they're going to have to create highlight shows and things like that of some nature to keep the hockey alive on that network. I've got friends at that station. I got frenemies at that station. And the bottom line is that they all did really good work. You might not like all of them. You might not like their approach. You might not like how inside some of them are and how they use or don't use that access. But they all worked hard. And they all really, I think, at the end of the day, put on a great product. There are guys in that station that I'm really interested to see what their next step is, James Duffy being chief among them. I think Duffy is a ridiculously talented guy and can do any number of different things, be it in hockey, be it in general media, be it in news, be it whatever. He would have been an interesting guy to have on NBC. I love Liam McHugh, but if Duffy had made his way down here a couple years ago, it would have been an interesting thing to see what that product would look like today. I think what Liam does is amazing, but Duffy's a different kind of studio host. Ray Ferraro, for my money, and I don't agree with what he says all the time, but for my money, is one of the best color analysts around. And the idea that he could be a free agent, go to Sportsnet, come down here to NBC, do whatever, is exciting. I think he's great, and I'm really interested to see where he ends up. And Dreger is a guy that, like, you know, we've snarked on both here and on the blog about him being way too inside with the Leafs and way too inside with the league, and sometimes that access, I think, harms his coverage. But he is, you know, you can count on one hand the number of insiders that we have in this game with the kind of access and gravitas this guy has. It's him, McKenzie, LeBrun, Kiprios, pretty much, right? So where he ends up, and obviously Elliot Friedman, I don't want to forget Elliot. And that's one hand, by the way, it's five, unless you're a mutant. So I'm interested to see where he ends up as well. Joining us now on the line is a guy that I consider to be one of the two best editors I've ever had, and a man who has obviously put in his time in Canadian media and can give us some great perspective on all of the stuff that we've seen go down in the last couple of days. He is Steve McAllister, are you still a managing editor, or do you have some crazy, more exalted title with Yahoo Sports Canada?
Well, today, Greg, although if Rogers makes another announcement, that might not be true by 5 o'clock.
This is true. You've been an observer of the Canadian media landscape since the dawn of time. What is your take on what we've just seen go down in the last 24 hours with this 12-year deal with Rogers?
Well, it's huge, and I think a couple of people have put it really well today, Greg, where there were, I think, a lot of people who had sleepless nights last night. If you're on the Rogers side, it's just so bloody exciting for the people who work at that company, starting with Keith Pelley and Scott Moore, who would have done most of the heavy lifting on this deal with the NHL, and then obviously people like Nick Kiprios and Doug McLean and Scott Morrison, who I've known for 25 years over there. And then if you're a TSN person, it had to be, you know, a real long night. And as you so eloquently put it, while I was listening off air, I mean, TSN's done a great job. I think they have changed the way that the game is presented on television. I believe it was Mark Milliard, one of their vice presidents, who came up with the idea of putting a guy in the penalty box at the beginning to be that set of eyes at ice level. So TSN has revolutionized television coverage of the game. So I think it's a day where if you're a Canadian hockey fan, you should have mixed feelings.
If you were a programmer, how would you approach the next 12 years if you're TSN? I mean, what do you do? Do you still cover the game with the same ferocity that you did when you had the rights? Will a Canadian viewer even give you the time of day if you don't have the rights? I don't know how that works. How does it work?
I think it's a lot different, Greg, than the analogy about that you always hear about ESPN, where, you know, ESPN lost the NHL deal, so they didn't give a rat's rear end about it anymore. I don't think you can survive in Canada if you don't cover hockey. And I have full confidence. I know a lot of the guys, as you do up at TSN, you know, Mark and Steve Dryden and Bob McKenzie and Stuart Johnson, the president, Sean Redmond, one of their vice presidents, and they will find a way to cover the game and do it so that they continue to get eyeballs. And I would say, Greg, there's a bit of a parallel with what Yahoo Sports has been able to do in both Canada and the U.S. when it comes to covering the Olympics. We're not a rights holder, but we've had tremendous success covering the Olympics because we do it in our own unique fashion. And I think TSN will do that with this ongoing coverage of hockey after the current deal expires.
Yeah, you'd hope so, because like I said in the little soliloquy before you hopped on, I mean, it ups Sportsnet's game, and it's important to have that counterpoint. You know, it's something I'm writing about in a piece later on Puck Daddy about the winners and losers, but there's a part of me that hopes that being extracted from the rights holder thing where they've been embedded for so long, you know, it could reinvigorate their journalism. There's no question that TSN pulls punches. There's no question they do. I mean, they were a rights holder, and they were in bed with the NHL in a way that other networks weren't. And maybe now, when they're on the outside looking in, they grow some stones. Maybe they become the journalistic attack dog that many hope they could be on issues that affect the league, and not necessarily just throw softballs like they had when they were a rights holder.
Well, Greg, let's use the example of the concussion lawsuit that got filed last night. I think you're absolutely right. If TSN could tackle the concussion issue like a dog in the bone and kind of be freed, and again, Gary Bettman stood up or sat at the press conference today and mentioned that the NHL doesn't interfere with editorial content, and we know that, you know, to some extent that's a crock. And so I think it does take the handcuffs off a network like TSN to go in and dig in on hard issues and do some real good journalism and try to effect some change in the game. And that's what good journalists do. They effect change when it's needed.
I didn't ask Merrick or John Shannon this because I knew there was probably around zero chance of getting any kind of answer. But Don Cherry. So Don Cherry is a guy that you might imagine could be a loser in this situation because, you know, if Sportsnet's taking total editorial control of Hockey Night, it does sort of maybe reduce the crazy that we could hear from that man now that he's not the big dog in the yard anymore. That said, the one thing you heard in that press conference from the Sportsnet people today was there's a chance we're going to see Don Cherry on seven different networks on a nightly basis. So what wither Don Cherry? What happens to Don Cherry under this deal with Rogers now, do you think?
Greg, I'll just project. And again, I have no insider knowledge on this. But my feeling is that Don's become too much of Hockey Night in Canada. I think you might see his role get cut back on the Saturday night broadcast. But as you know, he's had a highly successful radio show with Brian Williams up here for, I think, the better part of 25 or 30 years now. And I could see Don, especially on City TV up here, which is kind of a, you know, different, funky television station. So it wouldn't surprise me if they find a role for Don where he does appear on a bunch of different networks doing some different things. I just think we won't see as much of him on Saturday nights.
Interesting stuff. Do you think that he could? Do you think? How do you think the editorial control that Sportsnet's going to have could affect Hockey Night?
I think it's going to have a huge impact. Again, one thing that we've been trying to wrap our heads around at the office here today is why CBC would allow that to happen, and why, frankly, why Rogers just wouldn't take Hockey Night in Canada outright. I think the show could be better. There's some really talented people at CBC. There's some really talented people at Rogers. So I don't know how you're going to mix and match all those personalities. But I do think there is an opportunity to make some substantial changes and make some positive changes to the show.
Indeed. All right, moving off the TV thing, the concussion thing. And I know you are a guy who's been long passionate about player safety and concussions and trying to make sure we lessen them in hockey in all levels. What was your take on 10 players filing suit against the National Hockey League? I guess it was inevitable, but looking at the case, do you think they could have something here, or do you think it's misguided?
I don't know if it's misguided, Greg. I also don't think I don't think they have much of a case. I mean, I think both players and owners in the league have to take responsibility for some of the problems they've had with safety in the game. I do think the NHL, especially under Gary Bettman's watch, has tried to get out ahead of the curve a little bit on the concussion issue. But if you look at the NHLPA stance, Greg, on things like helmets, on face shields, on tightening up chin guards, on fighting, but again, where there seems to be, there still isn't any momentum on by either the players or the league to make fighting illegal in terms of kicking guys out for fighting. So I think it's a real hard lawsuit for these guys to win.
Yeah, and it's the fighting thing is interesting as far as how they've targeted it in the lawsuit and stuff like that. But it comes down to negligence, and again, the essential question is. Is the NHL sitting back and waiting on the science negligent? And I don't know if it is. And, they've done some things from a player safety protocol standpoint that have at least been proactive not proactive, they've been reactive. But it's not necessarily like they've dragged their feet or they've stuck their head in the sand like they're sometimes accused of doing, I don't think.
No, and Greg, the game – and the sciences around the game have changed so much. I mean, training methods have, you look at training methods today with guys like Gary Roberts and Lauren Goldenberg and, BioSteel and where we were 25 years ago where, an off season consisted of lifting a beer and grabbing for a pack of cigarettes. That's changed. And then just the whole science, there's so much more testing done now. I mean, we know so much more You know, CTE wasn't a term we heard 25 years ago. Baseline testing wasn't a term we heard 25 years ago. So it's a much different era. And a lot of the guys in that lawsuit were, you know, they're guys that were playing 25 years ago. And for some of the guys in the lawsuit, I think you point out in your post last night, Greg, who, you know, did participate in a fair number of fights. Again, I realize there's pressure to keep a job and that fighting is part of the league, but you also make that decision to be a fighter or to engage in an NHL fight. So again, I think there's, you just can't point your finger at the league and say they're solely responsible for guys who may or may not have had post-concussion syndrome.
That said, and I say this as a guy who's as pro fighting as anyone, I would love to see somebody from the National Hockey League have to answer under oath how they square being a paragon of player safety but allowing fighting. Wouldn't you like to see that? Just hand on Bible. How do you square that, Gary Bettman?
Yeah,
or how do you square that, Bill Daly?
Yeah, I think that's one hand on Bible, the other hand behind the back with fingers crossed.
Exactly. All right, man. Hey, last thing, because you know, you're a man of many ins. Oh, well, actually, one more thing on the concussion thing before we get to like a general NHL thing. You worked with the PA back in the day. I imagine some of the players that you interacted with might actually be looking at this lawsuit and wondering what if. Do you expect a number of former players to jump in the pool on this thing, or do you think that hockey's a different animal than the NFL, and you might see guys toe the line and not get involved in a lawsuit like this?
I think it might be a different animal, Greg, only because of the dynamics from the league office and the NFL Players Association, where I just get the sense that those leagues operate and the players' associations operate on a different level. And I do think, to your earlier point, the league, proactive probably isn't the right term. It probably is more reactive, but I think the league has tried to work on making player safety better. I think there is a better relationship between the league and the players now in terms of dealing with player safety issues, and there's more inclusion in that process for the players coming from the league now. So I don't see a lot of players jumping on this lawsuit. I think what's going to happen is I think everybody's going to watch and see what the end result of this lawsuit is, and then we'll see what the fallout is from that.
And then finally, General National Hockey League, what are your thoughts? What's the thing that surprised you most and the thing that you're most disappointed about in the league this year?
It's disappointing, Greg, the number of suspensions. And I believe, you know, Puck Daddy just had a post up not too long ago on the Wesker suspension.
Yeah.
And I saw that hit the other night, and that's such a disappointing hit. It's sheer stupidity in my mind why Kevin Westgarth will go and hit a guy who's lying on the, you know, basically on both knees, lying on the ice with his face turned to the boards. And the fact that the players still don't get the message, or still don't seem to have the respect, where we continue almost on a nightly basis see these vicious hits from behind, I think that's the thing that's really disappointing me, why we're seeing those every night.
Indeed. All right, Steve McAllister, thank you so much for
joining us.
For the first time, your maiden voyage on this very podcast, and I'm happy that you came on, because Merrick's big time now, and no one will talk to me anymore.
Yeah, so I look forward to getting my coffee mug.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The great Steve McAllister, who evidently thinks that we give out coffee mugs to our interview subjects when we don't even give out prizes to our game show winners. I mean, honestly, why would you expect anything else? Question of the day was, of course, winners and losers in the huge NHL TV deal with Canadian television. Merrick will be back tomorrow, of course, and we'll get more into the concussion thing then. But the focus today, I think, is on this TV thing with Rogers. Ian Tupper writes, and I think the hockey community at large will be a winner if this means the end of Glenn Healy and, dare I say, Don Cherry. I don't know how there's going to be a lot of opportunity at Sportsnet for on-air talent. I imagine some of the TSN guys will jump over there too. There's going to be a lot of hours to fill. And, you know, I don't think a guy like Glenn Healy is going to be frozen out. And I certainly don't think that if the Rogers people are to be heard today and believed today, that Don Cherry is going anywhere. I think we're going to see more of him, if anything else, than we've seen before. Rob Simpson from Detroit wants to harken back to our discussion on Steven Stamkos. I just finished listening to yesterday's podcast, and something bugged me about Jeff's reaction to Stamkos' miraculous recovery. Notably, don't the "he's just a freak of nature" and "it's amazing what these guys can do with a proper diet and exercise" lines sound a lot like something a baseball reporter would say in the 1990s, or what every football talking head recites when somebody mentions how big and fast and strong the players are these days? I'm not saying that you should rush into judgment when a player comes back sooner than expected from an injury, but shouldn't it at least be mentioned, or are we just going with the nothing to see here approach? I don't think it's a nothing to see here approach, but making that steroid accusation, which is where Rob's going and doesn't even use the word in the email because that's how much of a taboo subject it is, it's a very tricky subject to make. I mean, it's a career-ruining accusation in some ways. It's something difficult to prove. It's something difficult to test for these leagues because of the way that the steroids have become so designer. Should there be more scrutiny of it in the National Hockey League? Of course, because the misconception on steroids is obviously one in which you think about guys hitting home runs and strength and whatever, but essentially it's a recovery drug. And when you have guys making miraculous recoveries, it's okay to think about it, but I mean, who's going to sit there and accuse Stamkos of that? No one is. I'm not. I happen to think it's training. I happen to think it's training and youth are the combination that has led Steven Stamkos to bounce back from a broken leg. But the idea that there's not enough scrutiny of steroids or of performance-enhancing drugs vis-a-vis recovery time in a league where it's a friggin' war every night for 82 games plus the playoffs, I think there's an argument to be made that there's not enough of that in hockey. Sean O'Neill, the clear winners in this deal are vegan caviar salesmen and champagne distributors in the greater Stouffville area. I assume Jeff Merrick is getting a substantial portion of the $5.2 billion. I'm sure that Merrick's going to be okay in this deal. I'm sure he might get a few more responsibilities, and his paycheck may reflect that. Mike Badak, winner, me. If I understand no more regional blackouts properly, I can watch Senators games in Toronto, so now I won't have to pay out $200 a year for Game Center Live, which will get me watching less hockey overall and more time for other things. But don't worry, I stay loyal to Duffy versus Wyszynski, DVSW, loser Jeff Merrick. See above. This is from Spezstick. The ultimate winner of the NHL Canadian TV deal is CTV. With the free space, they can now show more reruns of The Littlest Hobo. It's so true. Very, very true. Jordan Bahar writes in, the biggest loser of the Rogers NHL exclusive rights deal is the Canadian public. TSN has done a phenomenal job in the broadcasting NHL games over the past decade, and Sportsnet and CBC are Bush League in comparison. Sportsnet for years has tried to copy TSN, but has consistently failed. So the only way for them to beat them was to buy them out of it, essentially. It would be like if the Kingpin was jealous for being an imbecile in comparison to Spider-Man and decided to pay S.H.I.E.L.D. billions of dollars to force Spidey into retirement and let him in so he could be he too could be a hero. The public in that situation too would be devastated, as clearly Kingpin would never be as great as Spider-Man. The biggest winner is Nick Kyprios, because now he doesn't have to worry about those efforts at TSN. Well, unless they all get hired by Sportsnet and cut into his TV time. Daniel Deutsch. Canadian TV deal winners and losers. Winners, Jeff Merrick, obviously. He's suddenly going to be on a bunch of national games. Next thing you know, he'll be thinking he's the Canadian Al Michaels and leave the humble podcast behind him in the dust. What a jerk. Losers, TSN. It's got a sting for them. It's like Fox losing NFL Sunday. Brian Zash, winners, hockey fans on Twitter, because we can unfollow Bob McKenzie and Pierre LeBrun in 8 months. That's not true. Both of those guys are still going to be your go-to insiders, FYI. McKenzie is going to stay with TSN, and he's as connected. He's more connected than anybody. But here's how connected Bob McKenzie is, okay? If you're thinking about making a stupid decision and unfollowing the man. He broke the news of his network losing the National Hockey League and forced the NHL to announce it today. Dan Rosen, my good friend at NHL.com, had to get up at the crack of dawn to craft a press release type post for NHL.com because Bob McKenzie let the cat out of the bag and said that it was going to be announced. So that's the power of Bob McKenzie, okay? Paul Vogel, I think the biggest losers are the little people, like broadcasters and producers. I fear that some of our friends on the TV side, hopefully not Merrick, might be out of a job. The biggest winners are the large market hockey teams that will go to get to spend to their heart's desire and make that David Clarkson deal look not so bad. It's an interesting one. Michael Perino on fighting and brain trauma. You know, the skull is nature's helmet, says Daniel Tosh. Tosh, rather. That's a very good point as well. And, you know, I took some heat yesterday for saying that one of the concussion lawsuit guys played without a helmet. Who was I talking about? Blair Stewart was the guy I was talking about. Red Wings, Caps, Nordiques played without a helmet during the 1970s after the Masterton death. And I said to myself, like, how can a guy sue the NHL for not taking care of his head and not have worn a helmet during his playing days when he had the option to wear one? That just, it didn't square in my head, but what have you. Finally, the great Matthew Toy. Biggest losers, all of us, because we have to see more Nick Kypreos. That's not – Nick Kipper's great. And again, like – as a quasi-Sportsnet guy, I know I put over the TSN guys before, but let me put over the Sportsnet guys. They are just as dedicated, just as talented, and in many ways hung in there through a lot of crap. The Sportsnet guys take a lot of crap. TSN guys kind of get overpraised sometimes. Sportsnet guys were always the scrappy underdogs. They were always second fiddle. And, you know, to see a guy like Darren Millard, to see a guy like, you know, Kypreos, John Shannon, Merrick, all these guys now all of a sudden get elevated to star status on what will be the only place to catch the National Hockey League for the next 12 years makes me really happy. Bob Torrens is a guy behind the scenes that works his ass off to make that product look great. All these guys, Morehouse, all these guys work really, really hard to do the best with what they have. And they, you know, it's as a journalist, as a guy who works in this industry, as a whatever you want to call us, entertainers, whatever you want to call us. We've seen the best and worst in the last 24 hours. There is no worst feeling in the world than when you work your ass off and the powers that be, the powers above you, the things that are out of your control, be it financially or whatever, undermine that work. And all of a sudden the trapdoor opens and you fall through. It's the worst feeling in the world. It feels better when you fail. And you know it's your fault that things didn't work out and it cost you your job. It's the worst feeling in the world to know that you've worked at the top of your game and done everything you can and put all your passion and blood, sweat, tears, what have you, into something, and then something out of your control costs you that. It's a terrible feeling. To be honest with you, I experienced it a little bit in the summer. People have been asking, you know, you've been a bitter guy. Like, you were a bitter guy after last summer. Well, you know, the redesign of the site that we have, it was problematic. It's gotten better. I still have a baseball diamond where a hockey rink should be. But overall, it's gotten better. But it was a really tough thing to do, to do really good work, I thought, and do interesting work. And yet, you know, 80, 85, 90% of the comments you get from readers, like your feedback is, your site's atrocious and I don't know how to work it and I hate it and I'm never coming back. Like, there's nothing you can do about that. It's a decision made above your head. So I get that, right? Flip side of it is what happened at Sportsnet today, where you've dedicated yourself to a company, you've worked your ass off, you've done good work, you've put the product out there, you've defended the product, you've put in long hours, and sometimes you feel like it's an uphill climb because you're not as good as the other guy in the eyes of the general public. Well, now there is no other guy. Now your company has stepped up and plunked down $4.9 billion U.S. to get these rights. And there's no better feeling than that. And congratulations to all those guys. You know, you put in a lot of effort and kept your head above water in some cases. And now it comes to pass that you are, for the next 12 years, the home for the National Hockey League in Canada. So, you know, got some acquaintances, got some friends up there, and I really feel good for all of them today. And maybe in some small part I could be a part of that, and this podcast can be a part of it too. Provided, of course, that certain parties don't big time us. Because I ain't doing this solo. Like I said, I'll find somebody. Find some TSNer. Find somebody from The Score. I don't know. Maybe we'll do that. Keep this podcast going any way we can. Anyways, that's the show
Sports
for today.
Sportsnet bought them, too.
Well, not the app.
Right.
Remember your predecessor went and started working for an app?
Yes, he does work for an app now.
He works for an app, right? Yeah, exactly.
He's an app.
Get someone from the app. He is.
He's an app now.
He's an app. He's an app who gifs.
Gifs.
Imagine I got in a DeLorean and went back 20 years and said, you know Josh? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we know Josh. Well, he's going to grow up to be an app who gifs. What an would be said?
That we went back in evolution?
that 20 years from now, it's gibberish. We all speak in gibberish.
We were all hit over the head with rocks.
Your son?
Yes.
Josh?
Yes, my baby boy, the apple of my eye.
Yeah, he's going to be an app who gifs on Twitter. Put this man in a straitjacket. He's speaking the devil's tongue.
You put him in the chair. He needs a lobotomy.
Right. All right. I am Greg Wyshynski of Yahoo Sports. Jeff Merrick, my radio partner, will be back tomorrow, one assumes, provided he can find his way to the microphone through all of the empty champagne bottles and party hats and whatever the hell vegetarians eat to celebrate the really high-quality broccoli. I know I'd be down in an Outburgers and stuff. I'd have them flown in.
Oh, yeah. I'm just going to take the veggies and dose them in MSG and eat them.
Yep. They put the shiitake mushrooms in the back of the fridge and take out the truffles. Ooh.
Actually, I had a nice spread down there this morning. I went down and stole some sandwiches.
I'm sure. Well, listen, Gary was in town. Gary and Bill and Collins. You gotta do it up for them. Shit, man. They announced the NHL TV series and fed us filet mignon.
Oh,
right?
Wow. Yeah,
that's
I remember.
That's what
that,
the expectation is. Thanks to John Shannon for hopping on and talking some TV rights stuff with us and dutifully avoiding my questions about male genitalia. Thanks to Steve McAllister, who again is one of the two best editors I've ever had, for hopping on and dropping knowledge. That man has forgotten more about hockey than I'll ever know, and it was great to finally have him on. Thanks to Matt for pulling together emergency MMVSW today as Merrick was predisposed to all this TV deal stuff. And thanks to you for chiming in and for listening and for supporting the podcast. And again, I am open to suggestions. When Merrick eventually does leave the podcast, who would you like to see be my cohort, be my partner in crime? PuckDaddyBlog@Yahoo.com. Suggest them. You know, Littlest Hobo's a good start. Duffy's a good start. But I'm open to other suggestions. Adrian writes in, the only answer is Pizzo, right? That's kind of a sad topic. I love Pizzo.
Rob Ford.
But Pizzo is doing so good, and now I don't know what'll happen. I hope that things are still good for him, because God damn it, the kid finally made it. He got on Hockey Night, and now Hockey Night's like all in limbo and shit. So, anyways, love the man. Hope he's doing well. All right, everybody, thanks for joining us. Merrick and Wyshynski reunited, one would hope, tomorrow to definitely talk about this concussion stuff and everything else going on in the league. And by the way, as I pointed out at the top of the broadcast, the timing. People, a concussion lawsuit followed by the biggest television rights deal in NHL history, which just 2 days ago we were told would be announced before the Olympics. I mean, I know we're technically before the Olympics, but come on. I mean, you talk about changing the conversation. Conversation done change, right?
Well, and here in Toronto, there was a 6-0 shellacking of the Maple Leafs that's now ignored as well.
So you're saying the Blue Jackets' defeat of the Maple Leafs plus concussion lawsuit equals the premature revelation of this television deal? I can get down with that.
Who owns the Maple Leafs? Hmm?
Well, Bell does.
Yeah, too. Yes.
And they still get a seat at that table?
Yeah, they'll still have a seat for a while until there's another bidding war.
We don't appreciate the way that you're broadcasting the team we own, Halfley. Shut up and go worry about the Jets for the next 10 years, jerks. That's the way it'll be. Alright, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you soon. Oh, Karen Douglas. New podcast, Wyshynski and Sean Leahy called We Like the Salt on the Nuts. Leahy versus Wyshynski versus Trail Mix. Who's listening to that? Everybody? All right, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow. I'll be up in Jurors, maybe tomorrow, trying to get my dad on the show. And we'll talk to you soon. Take care, man. ¶¶